On our end, this is Counterpoint. G'day, I'm Brendan O'Neill, editor of Spiked in London and a writer for The Australian. It's a pleasure to be here, guest hosting Counterpoint from London. The theme of this afternoon's programme is What Has Happened to the Left? For the next hour, we'll be discussing what it means to be left-wing today, whether the left is a spent force, and why the modern left seems so unradical and even illiberal in comparison with left-wing movements in the past. We'll be discussing the left's attitude to freedom and the left's embrace of the pieties of environmentalism. To get the ball rolling, I am joined by Professor Frank Faraday, a sociologist and prolific author. Frank has been involved in left-wing politics for many years, for longer than I have been alive. He was a student protester in the 1960s, and he was getting stuck into strikes and other forms of activism in the 1970s and 80s. He has also written more books than we could possibly list on this programme, the most recent of which is called On Tolerance, A Defence of Moral Independence. Welcome, Frank.
Hello.
I'd like to start by asking you if you still describe yourself as left-wing or as a Marxist. Do those labels have any real meaning today?
I think those labels have a lot of historic meaning, but I think they've lost a lot of their content. And the way that I look at it is that historically, you know, I would describe myself as on the left because that's where I would be when the French Revolution broke out. I would describe myself as on the left in the Paris Commune of 1871, because that's really where progressive, sort of forward-thinking people were. However, today in the 21st century, what the term left means and what the term Marxist means is really a very confused, caricatured version of what it connoted in the past.
Well, in terms of the outlook of groups that call themselves left-wing today, how precisely is that outlook different to left-wing groups of the past?
I think there are a number of key differences. The principal difference for me is that throughout human history, the left in the 18th, the 19th, the most of the 20th century was distinguished by the fact that it had a very positive interpretation of what human beings were. People on the left had a lot of faith in the capacity of ordinary people to make the world in their own image, to be the subjects of history, not the objects. One of the things I found very exciting when I became involved in left-wing politics was reading about the struggles and the attempts by different groups of people in the 19th, early 20th century to alter their circumstances, and had a very kind of positive vision of their capacity and their potential to improve the way they lived and to develop their intellect and to take mastery over their circumstances. Now, that was then. Today, the left has become far more cynical and skeptical about human beings. And one of the things that I've noticed is that most people on the left often sort of look upon ordinary people as conformists. In England, we call them tabloid readers, if you're on the left. Daily Mail readers, they're often dismissed as being bigots or racist or not enlightened. And quite often when you talk to people on the left, they see their role as one of, as they put it, raising awareness, that somehow they've got this magical insight into the workings of the world and they're going to raise awareness. And that seems to me to be this very contemptuous, elitist attitude, anti-populist attitude that defines left-wing people. But essentially, what makes them left-wing is that they're doing good things for other people. They're there to save those people from themselves. And I think that's historically been an approach associated with conservatism, with right-wing ideals, and now it's been totally assimilated by the left.
Mm. And how does something like raising awareness, which left-wing groups tend to do today, how does that differ from something like raising consciousness in the past? Because I'm sure lots of older left-wing groups would have argued that they were trying to raise class consciousness, for example. How is raising awareness, as you describe it, different to that process?
Well, I think consciousness that people gain is an accomplishment that comes about through their experiences. And we know, for example, that when people travel, when they're involved in discussions and dialogue, when they're involved in struggles, they are never the same people as they were at the very beginning. And therefore, the classical idea of consciousness and ideas changing has got to do with the belief that people can learn from their experience and become better people as a result of that. Raising awareness is really something that you do top-down, and not only do you do top-down for people below you, you also do it in a way that becomes increasingly linked to institutions, official organizations, and in particularly with the state. And I think that's the second big difference between the left in the past and in the present, which is that people want to raise awareness, you know, sort of regard the state as the as this kind of wonderful institution through which people become better, you know, sort of equipped to deal with life, where life skills are communicated, that provides them with public information so that they eat the right food, that they, you know, follow the right health advice, that they follow the latest tips from, you know, sort of scientists and public health officials. And gradually what has happened over the last 50 or 60 years is that the left as a movement has become a kind of adjunct of the state itself and regards state intervention as the high point of human civilization as, and as the main instrument for changing the world for the better. Whereas historically the left was defined by the fact that it was very suspicious and skeptical about the role of the state. And if you look at, you know, not just the far left, but all the way through liberalism in the 19th century, it had a distinctly uncomfortable relationship with the state, which it regarded as rather than the harbinger of positive things to come, as essentially a drag on life, as a burden that society had to carry that created limits. And I think that that difference between the 19th century, the early 20th century, and now is probably more focused on the attitude towards the state than anything else.
Well, I wanted to ask you about the left's attitude to the state, because it does seem to have changed a great deal in recent decades. And as you say, the left now seems very enamoured by the state and sees it as a kind of neutral, useful tool. What explains that change in relationship with the state? Is it because the left has become so alienated from ordinary people that it doesn't believe that they are capable of running their lives or changing society anymore, and therefore the state has to step in and do that stuff instead?
I think that one of the big changes that has occurred is with the loss of confidence in people. I think there has been a tendency to regard what ordinary human beings do as, to some extent, an inferior version of what institutions, bureaucracies, and governments can do. And I think that what has happened is that there's been a very sort of noticeable technocratic turn in left-wing ideals, where essentially it's the technocracy, it's the scientists, it's the officials who are seen as the key actors in policy making, you know, rather than the people. And I think what you've got is this very bizarre situation where instead of relying upon the aspirations of human beings for a new world, for a better life, and trying to sort of develop your political ideals around it, what you have is the very reverse, whereby you look to the policies of the state, the institutional practices of the state, and that becomes the foundation on which you propose policies for the future.
Yeah, one thing I've noticed in recent years is that anyone who criticizes the state is automatically assumed to be right-wing, and libertarianism, the idea of believing in liberty, is now seen as a right-wing trait, and anti-state has become almost a term of abuse amongst some on the left. So I wonder, how do we explain this belief that libertarianism is a right-wing thing and not a left-wing thing? What has brought that about?
I think the reaction against liberty, which people on the left in the 19th century would have found bizarre. I mean, imagine someone like Thomas Paine, imagine someone like Karl Marx, never mind the, you know, Proudhon and individuals like that. Imagine how they would react to this fairly sort of Byzantine celebration of the state as being a really kind of positive force. I think the reason why there is that is because in many respects there is a lack of belief, a lack of imagination that somehow people in communities through their own interaction and through their own sort of aspiration can bring about positive change. And if you really don't think very highly of human beings and in their everyday circumstance, if you believe that people are prejudiced, if you believe that people are a little bit thick, they're not as intelligent as you are, they're not as educated as you are, if you regard ordinary Australians or ordinary English people as very conformist, as very predictable, then what you end up is a very kind of elitist attitude where you essentially believe that only a small number of people have got the insights and the capacity to lead society forward. And this small section of society can only do that if it's got some strong institutions, in this case the state, to underwrite its kind of projects. And I think that's really what has changed.
Some people argue that the left is going through something of a renaissance in recent years, particularly following the onset of the recession, and they say, you know, just look at the Occupy movement or look at the student protests that we had in Britain. What would you say to that? Do you think Occupy is a sign that there is still some life left in the left, or is it a sign of something else?
I think what you've got is really a kind of zombie politics, the night of the living dead, where you have people using left-wing labels, occasionally making rhetorical gestures. But in practice, what is really striking is that we have a global recession, you know, austerity throughout the Western world, where economic life has been totally disrupted, where, you know, there is mass chaos, you know, sort of in many parts of the world. And yet the left's reaction to it, if there is a left, is this kind of studied silence. I mean, where are the counter-crisis sort of strategies? Where are the economic alternatives? Where's the future-oriented radical vision of raising productivity, of altering life for the better? You don't have any of that. All you have are these occasional criticisms of monetarism and austerity measures, which demand that we inject a few more resources into the economy, this belief that somehow, you know, by creating more demand, the recession will be overcome rather than it creating inflation. So what we have is a total absence of left-wing ideals and alternatives in a way that would have been unthinkable even in the 70s, in the recession of the 70s, never mind the depression years of the 30s, where there were very thriving, flourishing alternatives to the status quo policy that were being proposed.
Just following on from that, one thing I'm quite struck by is the left's attitude towards economic growth today and the idea of pursuing economic growth. And the left seems to be almost more down on that than even other sections of society. You know, they view growth as kind of dangerous and dirty and contributing to climate change. Is that also a significant shift from the past? Would the left have been rallying for growth in earlier eras?
Well, I think you raise a very important point, which is that historically, the modernist vision that was associated with left-wing thought was very strongly focused on developing technology, developing science, developing economic productivity and production. And most important of all, that kind of links of all these fields is really being open to experimentation. And in fact, if there's one dividing line historically between the left and the right, it's the attitude towards experimentation, both in the economic but also in the social sphere. And it seems to me that what has happened is that in the last 30 or 40 years, people that define themselves left have actually assimilated very conservative, very backward-looking, almost pre-capitalist ideals that are, to some extent, a reactions to change, that regard uncertainty with dread, and are very uncomfortable with technology and science, and do not particularly like economic growth. And I think it's very interesting how one of the ways that you can tell people if they call themselves left-wing, one of the first things they will tell you is how anti-consumers they are, how they think consumption is a bad thing, and make fun of ordinary people who like to go shopping. I mean, that seems to be a kind of cultural critique, usually associated with very conservative-minded sort of people that has now been absorbed entirely by people who see themselves as left-wing.
I was going to ask you about the anti-consumerist trend that exists on, particularly amongst young left-wingers these days, the kind of new generation almost define themselves through being anti-consumerist. What drives that? Because I presume that in earlier generations, the left would have been quite in favour of working people having lots of stuff and living comfortably, and now they seem to be quite disdainful of that idea.
Well, I think it's got to do with a kind of identity politics. I think one of the things that left-wing politics is actually kind of conservative from identity politics, where you're defined by the food you eat, and you're defined by the clothes you wear, you're defined by the music you listen to. You know, you're defined by relatively superficial attributes of everyday life, and therefore the affectation of being frugal, the affectation of somehow, you know, resisting the temptations of advertisers is a really key, important component part of your identity. What's very interesting, of course, is that anti-consumerism merely means a different kind of consumerism, because most people I know, for example, at my university, who call themselves left-wing are pretty actively consumers, but they consume what is ethically correct, what is emotionally correct for a left-wing person. And if you look at their kind of jackets and their shoes, they don't cost any less than what other people get. You know, they may not be design label, not Gucci or Boss, but they are nevertheless labels, but of a different sort.
I was really struck by your your argument that you would have defined yourself as left-wing because you would have stood on the left side of the National Assembly in revolutionary France. And are we now in a situation where that historical period, the historical period of left and right, and that great divide which defined politics for 200, 300 years, has that now come to an end? And are those tags just useless in comparison to how they were used in the past?
It is. I mean, I know in my own case, I often find that you find allies in the most unexpected of places. So for me, one of the first questions I always ask is, what does this person or this group, you know, sort of believe about human beings? You know, do they think that people on balance are good and can somehow cultivate a constructive sort of imagination towards the world? Do we believe in their potential? Or do we think that these people are a problem? And I often find, for example, that people who are religious, I myself, I'm an atheist, but people who are religious often have a more elevated sense of humanity than many people who are very secular and see themselves as being on the left. And that's quite surprising because, you know, when you have more in common with somebody about this very basic question of what is a human being, then, you know, if you join together, you may end up in unexpected places. And often, you know, these days, you just got to make decisions on the spur of the moment.
And finally, Frank, you've been called many, many things in your time. You've been called a Marxist, a Trotskyist, a libertarian, a right-winger. I just wonder if you accept any of those labels, or if you have a label of your own, or if you prefer not to pigeonhole yourself in that political fashion anymore today.
I would rather not have a distinct label. What often happens around our breakfast table at home is my son and my wife have big arguments about how we should define ourselves. And we often find that it's really, really difficult because whatever labels we use, it's open to misinterpretation. And therefore, what I tend to do is kind of hide behind sort of words that I know will be misunderstood. Like, I call myself a humanist. But a lot of humanists are very anti-human in the 21st century. I call myself a libertarian, but then a lot of libertarians have obsessions that I do not share, for example, with hating the state. I don't hate the state. I don't think the state is a positive institution for improving the culture and the life of people. So as a result of that, I often sort of see myself as a kind of isolated left-wing radical with humanist and libertarian aspirations.
Which is a bit of a mouthful.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Frank Fradi, thank you very much indeed.
All right, pleasure.
That was Frank Fradi, Professor of Sociology at the University of Kent and author most recently of On Tolerance. I'm Brendan O'Neill and this is Counterpoint on RN. Up next, a monologue by me on the politics of environmentalism.